You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. I want to begin today with a warning. And it's a warning because I believe that what we're about to unpack today together as a family is one of the most countercultural and upending ideas in the entirety of the scriptures. And if you and I take these words of Jesus seriously, it could radically change the way we see our world. And listen, I know we preachers were given to hype and hyperbole about this stuff, but as I looked at this together for our community this week, I just kept thinking, this is exactly what I'm praying for. This is the kind of person that I want to be. This is the kind of community I want to be a part of as we embody this truth together. And it all comes out of the seventh beatitude in our series, A Living Alternative, which is these eight blessings that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount that give you and I a picture of what his life looks like on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to jump right into our beatitude today because there's a lot of ground to cover, and let's just go. Let's go with it. So Matthew 5, verse 9, look at these words of Jesus on the screen with me. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Now notice right away, it doesn't say blessed are the peaceful. It says blessed are the peacemakers. This is an action word in the Greek that literally means to do peace. Jesus is saying, blessed are those who do peace. Now, should we be peaceful? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Philippians 4 says that when we bring our anxieties to the Lord in prayer, he gives us a peace that passes understanding. That's what I'm praying for you in this crazy time right now, Restoration, that you would have a peace that is powerful enough that you just can't explain, that sustains you throughout the crisis we find ourselves in. But followers of Jesus don't just have peace, they make peace. So we have to ask ourselves then, what does it mean to make peace? I mean, does that mean we just try to calm everybody down? We try to sweep all the conflict under the rug? We try to make sure no one's offended, everyone is comfortable? No, that doesn't mean what it means at all. That's very contrary to the idea of peace in the scriptures. Peace in the Bible is way bigger. And it's really summed up in this idea of shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word that's way bigger than calm and tranquility and some sort of Zen moment. Walter Brueggemann, he's one of my favorite theologians, he says that shalom is the flourishing wholeness of creation into the purposes of God. In other words, shalom is the way things ought to be in our world. Shalom is when brokenness is mended. Shalom is when the sick are healed, when division is restored, when you and I live into the fullness of our calling to love God and love neighbors as ourselves. It's nothing less than God restoring the world to the way it should be. Which is why a couple weeks ago we talked about how sin is broken shalom that is expressed in four key relationships. You can see this on the screen as a reminder. It's broken relationships with God, with our neighbors, with ourselves, and with creation. And listen, my friends, as we watch the news on a daily basis, what we are seeing is broken shalom. The pandemic, white supremacy, racism, political division, all of this is an expression, the fruit of broken shalom in our world. Which means then that peacemaking has to be so much more than making sure things are calm and that conflict isn't present. On the contrary, peacemakers are active participants in bringing healing and reconciliation within broken systems and broken relationships in our world. And here's the thing, my friends, when you participate in that kind of peacemaking, a lot of times it's not very calm. Let's take racism, for example. Racism is sin. It is fundamentally broken shalom that distorts the way we see our neighbors who have different colored skin and different cultures. And some would say and have said that when you talk about it, when you name it, it's being divisive. Or that, listen, if you just stop talking about it so much, it would go away. Well, That is bringing calm, but according to the Bible, that is definitely not bringing peace. You see, there's a massive difference, my friends, in peacemaking and peacekeeping. Peacemaking speaks into the problem that's there. Peacekeeping says, I just want to get the conflict out of the way. Peacekeeping is basically saying, I'll put a Band-Aid on it. Peacemaking saying, I'm seeking the cure that caused the wound in the first place. And this is all because peacemaking always pushes us toward what is the heart of the gospel, and that is reconciliation. And reconciliation literally is the heart of what we believe as followers of Jesus. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of the passages we'll look at together in our home churches. Look at it on the screen with me. It says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And again, real quick, look in Colossians 1, 19 and 20. It says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, speaking of Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What do these passages tell us? They're telling us that the gospel is so much bigger than just going to some sort of disembodied heaven when we die. The gospel is nothing less than in and through Jesus and his kingdom, bringing the restored shalom to all of creation, bringing the world back to the way it was always meant to be. In the words of Jesus in Revelation 21, when he says, I am making everything new. And the astounding part about this is that God is inviting you and I to partner with him, to participate in the restoration of shalom in our world, in literally making peace in our world. One of my favorite descriptions of this comes in N.T. Wright's book, Surprised by Hope, when he says this. He says, what you do in the present by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, will last into God's future. These activities are not simply ways of making the present life a little less beastly, a little more bearable, until the day when we leave it behind altogether. They are a part of what we may call building for God's kingdom. And that's why making peace, being peacemakers, is central to our lives as followers of Jesus. When we see the brokenness in our world, we don't run away from it. We run to it as the hands and the feet and the voice of peace in our world. So on one side, yes, we reject the peacekeeping passivity of sweeping things under the rug, of trying to keep people calm so we don't have to deal with it. But there is an extreme on the other side. And that is, as we are seeking restoration in our world, there is a temptation to just seek vengeance on those who oppose us and stand in our way. To cancel them, if you will, to use the language that we use often these days. Listen, I don't want to give you the impression that to be a peacemaker means that you just don't take sides on anything. That's not true. The truth of the matter is that as followers of Jesus, there are many issues in this very divisive world that we will find ourselves on one side or the other, that is us taking a stand for what we believe. But what defines us as peacemakers is often less about our position and more about our posture. In other words, it's less about where we land on any given issue, as important as that is, and more about how we treat people who disagree with that position in the first place. You see, it's a common thing these days, not just to disagree with people, but to demonize them, to dehumanize the other side, even seek the destruction of them. We just wish that they would be taken out. It's not just winning anymore. It's we want vengeance. We want blood. But the hard truth is that if God is restoring all things to himself in Christ, his desire is not just to restore you and people who are like you and vote like you and think like you and act like you. He wants to bring restoration in the lives of your enemies as well, which is a hard challenge. And the truth is, it is impossible to seek reconciliation and vengeance against your enemies at the same time. One of my favorite pastors, Rich Velotis, he puts it this way in a very profound way. He says, the gospel is good news for the oppressed and the oppressor, for the powerless and the powerful, both liberated, but in different ways. The oppressed are raised up from the destructive illusion of inferiority, the oppressor from the destructive illusion of superiority. Now, does this mean that we don't speak up when we see injustice and sin and brokenness in our world? No, but it does mean that when we seek freedom and peace, that freedom and peace can't just be for those like us. Because God's love reaches across those barriers, because our love is supposed to reach not only to our neighbors, but to our enemies, we seek freedom and peace for those who disagree with us, for those who stand on the other side. So, as we reject both the peacekeeping passivity of sweeping everything under the rug, and we reject vengeance, which tries to push aside and not seek reconciliation and hope for those who disagree with us, we then are called to step into the slow and meaningful work of building God's kingdom right where we are. Now, the problem is that it's very, very easy these days to see the problem and to complain about the problem. But when it calls us to step into the slow and often painful and often breaking work of real kingdom work in our lives, in our relationships, in our city, some of the peacemakers are hard to find. The truth of the matter is that everything meaningful, everything that matters, takes time. Building relationships across the barriers that the world puts up takes time. Combating racism takes time. Upending generational poverty takes time. Living as a follower of Jesus in your workplace without looking like a weirdo takes time. And all too often, I'll just be real with you, we're already moved on to another church or another outreach or another project before the actual real work of peacemaking begins. So if we slow down and we see reconciliation at the heart of the gospel, we will start to see that it is the church and not a political party or a government that is the center of peacemaking in this world. And we will step into this calling as a community together to walk up to the walls that the world puts between us and begin tearing them down. This is, after all, is the message of Ephesians chapter 2 when Paul works out the implications of our gospel in our lives. He says this, "For he himself," speaking of Jesus, "is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he has put to death their hostility. What does this mean for us, my friends? It means that because Jesus is our peace, because of the work he has done to tear down the walls of hostility that are between us, as peacemakers, we stop building walls and we start building tables, because tables are the place where we can listen, where we can name the brokenness that we see, where we can repent, where we need to repent, and where together we can work out what making peace looks like in the world around us, where together we can seek restoration and reconciliation in our world as we stand together towards faith in Jesus. This is our calling as Restoration Church, to make peace in this world, because Jesus says, blessed are those who do peace, for they will be called children of God. Which moves us in our time of what we call witness. And witness is all about how we talk this out in our home churches and in relationships, and therefore we can live it out as we process this together and become disciples of Jesus. Moving beyond just information about what we're talking about here and into how we practice this in the everyday stuff of our life. So there's questions that we go through together. You find those at restorationlex.com/this week. But there's one question I want to press into together today that we're going to throw up here on the screen. Here's the question. Where is God calling you to actively make peace in your world? And how will you join his work? Is that in your city? Is that in a relationship? Is that a way that you can be generous? Is that a line that you need to cross so that you can love your enemy? I don't know what that is, but I pray that you process that together with a friend or in your home church and talk about what making peace in your lives together might look like. You can find all this, again, at restorationlex.com/this week. You can give there as well. Thank you so much for being a generous church and for making peace through your generosity in our city and beyond. You can also fill out a Connect card, sign up for the newsletter, get kids resources, all this stuff, restorationlex.com/this week. We love you guys. I pray for you this week as you're navigating this together in your home churches and in relationships, and we will be back in this space next Sunday. Love you guys.